Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with a CBS World News Roundup. It lasted most of the night, a siege at a nursing home in New Haven, Connecticut, but it ended with only one nurse injured. Walt Wheeler of station WCBS reports from the scene.
The siege started about 10:30 Eastern Time last night, a gunman entering the new Fairview nursing home here in New Haven, demanding to see his daughter, who works there. As it turned out, she was off duty. The gunman took control of the second floor. Some 60 patients and staff members there, including Roxy Davis, threatening to kill her and 25 others.
About 10 of 11, I started crying, and I asked him, please don't kill me. And he told me that, he would let me go at 11 o'clock. So I was one of the first to leave, at about quarter after 11. He let me go. He walked me to the time clock, and he told me that he cared for me like a sister, and he didn't want to hurt me.
At other times through the night, though, the gunman threatened again to kill. But finally, 8 hours after it all started, he started out of the building, forcing a group of hostages ahead of him, past, as it turned out, New Haven Police Department Sergeant Steve Today.
Four nurses that he was holding hostages came through the door. We were in the hallway, and there was a muzzle coming through the door. I grabbed the muzzle.
Grabbed him, knocked him to the floor, and with the help of fellow officers, subdued him as the gunman was trying to draw a second weapon. He's identified as 59-year-old Dominic Giordano, hospitalized now for psychiatric observation. Walt Wheeler for CBS News, New Haven, Connecticut.
In Bangladesh, the people are paying their last respects to President Ziaur Rahman, who was assassinated over the weekend. And the general who led the unsuccessful revolt against Zia has been killed by angry troops, the government says, following his arrest. Israeli military planes today carried out a new attack on Palestinian guerrilla bases in southern Lebanon. A military spokesman says all planes returned safely to base. It was the second Israeli air raid on such targets in less than a week. And this morning, Prime Minister Menachem Begin said the policy on that will not change.
We are going to continue our preventive operations against the PLO terrorists, who, if we do not carry out such operations, will come to our country, take hostages, kill men, women, and child. We relinquished ultimately the philosophy and tactics of retaliation. In other words, the killers come first, kill men, women, and children, and then we go out to retaliate.
Prime Minister Begin made those remarks on the CBS News broadcast morning. Syrian Foreign Minister Abdel Halim Haddam flew to Saudi Arabia today, taking a message from President Hafez Assad to King Khalid. Doug Tunnell reports that his trip is only the most recent in a series of diplomatic exchanges between Syria and Saudi Arabia over the Israeli-Syrian missile dispute.
Other ranking Syrian leaders, too, have visited the Saudi capital within the last 10 days, and the Saudis have reciprocated with at least three visits to Damascus by one Saudi official since the missile crisis in the Bekaa Valley began. The most closely guarded secret in Damascus, however, seems to be precisely what is being discussed in all the talks. Since Syrian officials criticized American proposals to end the missile crisis as sounding too much like Israeli demands, Saudi Arabia has become active in trying to defuse the tensions in Lebanon. But Western diplomatic sources here cautioned that the Saudis appear more concerned with the overall Lebanese situation, its factional feuding, than with the Syrian missiles in eastern Lebanon that have so enraged Israel. Diplomats in Damascus say it is still unclear whether or not the Saudis will even bring up the so-called missile crisis within the context of their Lebanese diplomacy. Doug Tunnell, CBS News, Damascus.
More fighting occurred today between Syrian troops and Christian militia units in Beirut and also in the Christian stronghold of Saleh to the east. It's beginning to sound like a story with an echo effect. More talks in Washington today about a compromise tax cut. Susan Spencer has the latest.
Despite all the talk of ultimatums and last chances and time running out, there's a feeling on Capitol Hill that the great tax cut negotiations probably are in about the fifth or sixth inning. Today, Republican leaders visit with the president at the White House to get briefed on what the Democratic leaders got briefed on yesterday. Later on, members of the Conservative Democratic Forum, many of whom voted against their party leadership and with the Republicans on budget cuts, will get together to talk about their options, knowing full well that if united, they could swing the balance either way. And Ways and Means Committee Chairman Dan Rostenkowski has said that he would like to meet with his fellow Democrats on the committee today to discuss what's next for them. Part of what's keeping negotiations going is that no one really knows yet who would win a fight. Some Republicans and conservative Democrats have trouble with the president's plan because it involves deficits larger than they want to accept. But if nothing has changed and there's no real movement on either side by the end of the week, the Republicans say they're going to do a head count and find out if enough Republicans and conservative Democrats are there to give the president another big victory. Susan Spencer, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Gubernatorial primary elections are being held today in New Jersey after a campaign notable chiefly for the astounding number of contestants. Details from John Matthew of Station WCBS.
The campaign slogans run from "Now is the time" to "The time is now." Perhaps an unwitting symbol of the seeming sameness that's permeated a gubernatorial primary race among 21 candidates. Most of the eight Republicans have been trying to cash in on President Reagan's popularity. One of them, Thomas Kane, a former state legislator, has even issued his own version of a Kemphoff tax cut plan for New Jersey. The three front-running Democrats in a field of 13 have been staking out moderate positions on the key issues of taxation, crime, and employment. While they've talked about the impact of federal budget cuts on New Jersey, there's an absence of any sustained attacks on the Reagan administration. Voters are obviously confused, what with the staggering number of choices before them. One reason why so many candidates stuck it out to the end is because this is the year New Jersey inaugurated its public-financed gubernatorial primary scheme. The price tag for this so-called experiment in participatory democracy is high, $6 million. John Matthew for CBS News, Elizabeth, New Jersey.
And that $6 million is just the amount of public money involved. The total cost of the New Jersey primary, around $13 million. Even so, the turnout is expected to be small, no more than 25 or 26% of the eligible voters. Some of the American military men among the former hostages in Iran are being honored today in Washington. The story from CBS News Pentagon correspondent Ike Pappas.
Air Force Colonels Thomas Schaefer and David Roeder, plus Captain Paul Needham, received their medals in a Pentagon ceremony this morning. The Army and Marines, the two other services whose representatives are former hostages, have not yet publicly announced when they will distribute their awards. The Meritorious Service Medal is being given to the Air Force men, plus the others, for what was described as their exceptional behavior while in captivity. Sources said the former hostages divulged little about embassy operations and attempted to help each other while in the hands of the Iranian militants. But not so Staff Sergeant Joseph Subic. According to Army sources, Subic was too cooperative with his captors, telling them at one point that the embassy had engaged in espionage. Because of his behavior, Subic was not awarded a medal. But he says that doesn't matter. As far as he's concerned, he just wants to forget the hostage ordeal. But the Army may not let him do that. Sources said other measures, perhaps even the denial of Subic's right to reenlist, are being considered. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Washington.
Some veterans of the Vietnam conflict have been conducting a hunger strike in Los Angeles, and we'll hear about that from Harold Dow.
Today, the small group of Vietnam veterans is holding a national fast and prayer vigil in honor of the hunger strikers. People across the country are being asked to fast for 1 hour, from noon to 1 p.m. Outside on the front lawn of the Veterans Administration Hospital, the hunger strike. 12 Vietnam veterans vowing to starve themselves to death. They have set up tents and are now camped out. Inside the hospital, in the front lobby, another group of Vietnam veterans. They call themselves the Inside Six. It's a sit-in. What do they want? An inspection of the Veterans Administration by outside experts. Additional research into the effects of the toxin defoliant Agent Orange. Recognition of delayed stress syndrome as a disease. And some of the veterans want to meet with President Reagan. It's not known how many of the 4.2 million Vietnam veterans are in support of this protest, but one of the participants said the Wadsworth VA hospital has become a rallying point for veterans across the country. He said the phone in the hospital lobby rings 24 hours a day, people calling up, giving support. Harold Dow, CBS News, Los Angeles.
The dollar staged strong gains today against all the major foreign currencies, rising in London for the 10th trading day in a row. Gold prices sagged. The price was fixed in London at $473.50 an ounce, down $8.
CBS News. New Israeli strikes in Lebanon and the search for peace is in low gear. I'm Richard C. Hottolet reporting on the CBS radio network. Israeli jets aimed quick, hard raids against PLO targets in southern Lebanon today in the coastal region between Tyre and Sidon. Lebanon State Radio says 15 civilians were killed or wounded in these raids and in artillery fire against rocket-launching sites near the Palestinian bases. The Palestine Liberation Organization says its forces suffered no casualties. More from Larry Pindack.
was a guerrilla stronghold just north of the ancient port city of Tyre. A PLO communique said Israeli warplanes bombed and rocketed guerrilla positions along the beach and in a nearby orchard. The communique claimed there were no casualties in the 15-minute raid. Tyre, located a dozen miles north of the Israeli border, is a key guerrilla port. The area between Tyre and Sidon further north is dotted with PLO military positions and refugee camps. For the most part, the guerrillas do not have bases in the traditional sense of the word, but are scattered across the countryside in small camps. The bulk of the guerrillas here today were members of Yasser Arafat's mainstream Fatah movement of the PLO. Larry Pinzak, CBS News, Beirut.
Prime Minister Begin of Israel said the raids will continue, adding that they should have no effect on efforts still underway to deal with the Syrian-Israeli tension. Begin today took the unofficial lead in the Israeli election campaign. Just 4 weeks before Election Day, an opinion poll published in the Jerusalem Post showed Begin's Likud coalition apparently moving ahead of the opposition Labor Party for the first time in 2 years. Voters apparently rallied in support of his forceful handling of the Syrian missile crisis. More news after this.
If you're eating more of your meals at ballparks and beaches this time of the year, it's even more important to start your day with a good hot breakfast. After all, man does not live by grape soda alone. So, when you're on your way to your favorite place in the sun, pull into McDonald's for some fresh scrambled eggs, pure pork sausage, hash browns, and a chilled glass of our pure grade A orange juice. It's just what you need when you're on the run, so come on in.
Nobody can do it.
Your breakfast is ready at McDonald's.
Like McDonald's can.
General Hospital.
Do you own your own telephones?
No.
Could you afford to pay another increase in monthly phone company equipment charges?
Sure. Put patients on the American plan. No more free lunch.
Avoid paying any monthly equipment charges. Own an Executone business phone system from 5 phones to 5,000. Executone, Inc. The nationwide business phone company. Member Continental Telephone System. Call 800-645-7246. That's 800-645-7246.
After failing to reach a tax cut compromise with congressional Democrats yesterday, President Reagan summoned the entire Republican leadership to the White House today. One of them, Barbara Conable of the House Ways and Means Committee, says the president still wants a compromise with the Democrats.
My impression is that the Republicans are back of the president's program, that they also expect some movement at some point on the part of the Democrats if we're to have anything like the partnership government that we'd really like to have. We don't like to have to negotiate with a fragment of the Democratic Party. I'll tell you that it's likely to win in the House if they don't get their act together soon.
The Air Force failed yesterday in its first attempt to shoot down a superfast air-to-air missile with a high-intensity laser beam aimed from a plane in flight. An Air Force spokesman in Washington this morning said simply, "The test failed, and we don't know why." U.S. laser test devices based on the ground have knocked down pilotless drone aircraft and an anti-tank missile. It's election day in three states today, Ohio, New Jersey, and Mississippi. In New Jersey, gubernatorial primaries have drawn a record 21 candidates, but a low turnout is reported. Stocks and other news after this.
Dear sir, who last night at one of the city's finest restaurants sent back the chef's celebrated duck à l'orange because the sauce was too cloying for your particular palate, whose wife said, "Sometimes I don't understand you." Well, sir, we understand you. We're the investment firm of Dean Witter Reynolds, and no matter how demanding you are, we can help put a smile on your face.
You look like you just heard from Dean Witter.
Dean Witter knows to win over investors, you've got to produce results. And our investment programs can help do just that. Whether those plans help you cope with today's economy or better prepare you for tomorrow, Dean Witter can give even the most demanding investor something to smile about. Dean Witter Reynolds, one investment firm you'll be glad to hear from.
You look like you just heard from Dean Witter.
Member SIPC.
Should the Three Mile Island nuclear plant ever be allowed to operate again? Federal officials today are conducting tests at the plant in an effort to answer that question. The plant's owner, Metropolitan Edison, wants to restart one of the two reactors later this year. Today's testing involves a mock disaster drill required by federal law. Poland's labor leader, Lech Wałęsa, says he wants out as head of the Solidarity Union, arriving today for a meeting of the ILO in Geneva. Wałęsa told his reporters, "I feel I should be replaced. I would like to raise my children." Richard C. Hotelet, CBS News.